Hi, my name's Greg Parry, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of Global Services and Education. This podcast series is about global leadership. It's about studying and exploring the human behaviors that are so essential to maximize our performance in culturally diverse locations. The world is much smaller now, and it's time for us to come together and make sure we understand leadership as it applies in different cultures of the world. Well, hi everybody. Today I want to speak about conspiracy theories. To be honest, this is take two of this podcast. I did complete a full version of this podcast a few days ago, but to be honest, just didn't feel like I was really hitting the spot. I guess the reason why I've decided to revise and start again was it's important to understand conspiracy theories from a neutral space and for us to respect that many people in the world have different opinions about these kinds of topics. And I guess I wanted to explore it from a more neutral position, even though I need to be upfront and say that I'm not a person that easily lends himself to understanding and taking on conspiracy theories as a matter of fact. But it fascinates me a great deal the way that people are so drawn to different ideas, explanations, or understandings of events than what is initially reported. And these things, this concept of conspiracy theories are not new. Certainly, we've had conspiracy theories since the beginning of time. Of course, there was times when we burnt witches at the stake, people that allegedly had superpowers or that were evil. The events happened that could not easily be explained, and people took action against these people because they believed that they had caused these things to go wrong. I even make connection to things like bad luck and, black cats and walking under ladders. Some people believe those things to be true, but in many ways, I think this is where a lot of these ideas begin, that we look for ways to understand or explain behaviors that are not easily understood, that don't make sense. Of course, one of the most famous conspiracy theories of all time in America was the JFK assassination. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. He was killed, struck by two bullets, one in the head, one in the neck. He was riding in an open-top limousine, and Lee Harvey Oswald was charged with killing him. There was a massive presidential commission, an investigation, that determined that Oswald acted alone. But of course, that conclusion did not pass muster with the public. Many people still today believe that that was not the truth, that things were much more sinister than that. A news poll some years ago found that 70% of Americans believe that Kennedy's death was a result of a much broader plot, that it was not as simple as it would at first seem. People said that the trajectory of the bullets just didn't add up, that there was possibly more than one shooter. There was a second gunman participating in the shooting. Other people believed in an even broader conspiracy, that he was somehow killed by the CIA because there were people acting against him or he knew information that other people didn't want shared, that he was killed by KGB operatives, by mobsters. In fact, only 30% of those polled by the ABC some years ago believed that Oswald carried out the killings on his own. Many people still today believe that there's a far bigger picture or a different story about his killing. Another incredibly famous conspiracy theory that has been floating around was the concept of 9/11 being and the possibility of a cover-up. Of course, we all know where we were when the 9/11 tragedy happened. It was an incredible tragedy for America, but certainly worldwide, we were all frightened and concerned and upset at the incredible tragedy that happened on that day. Videos and photographs circulated the world of the two planes striking the World Trade Centers. The towers, of course, some of the most famous buildings around the world, and the whole horror of that certainly shocked us all. There was lots of documentary evidence, both official and unofficial, providing lots of information for conspiracy theories to develop. Well, a poll back then found that 42% of Americans believed that the government and the 9/11 Commission concealed or refused to investigate some important critical evidence or facts about those September 11 attacks. People wondered, why had the military failed to intercept the hijacked planes? Surely we have military circling the area. Why didn't they intercept the hijacked planes? Why didn't they stop it from happening? People considered, had the government issued some kind of a stand-down order to minimize any interference with some kind of secret plan to destroy the buildings and blame it on Islamic terrorists? Speculation, of course, existed about how fast the towers burnt, that engineers provided evidence as they saw it as to saying that it would be impossible for two airplanes to crash into the building and for the buildings to burn so quickly to the ground. And if you search on the internet, these conspiracy theories still exist, people not quite accepting the government's official position on the 9/11 attacks. Area 51, of course, outside Las Vegas is another one. There was recently an attempt by large groups of people to storm that area. I'm sure that was, again, just a viral hoax. Someone started this idea for fun. But conspiracy theorists for many years have believed that crashed UFO spacecrafts are housed at that location, and that the American government is completing tests on those spacecrafts, trying to understand the technology that exists. They believe that there are aliens there, that the scientists are trying to reverse engineer the technology, the aliens' highly advanced technology, for the benefit of the American government to protect itself and to find new technologies. There's supposedly been a variety of UFO sightings around the area for many, many years. Even retired Army personnel have made claims that there are some extraterrestrial materials gathered from those spacecraft there, and that there's many studies being completed. There's claims that the government's developed very advanced aircraft and weapon systems based on this technology all at that location. And of course, what makes it even more fodder for such conspiracies is you can't get anywhere near that location. It's heavily guarded, high levels of security. You're not allowed anywhere near that space. There are, of course, many theories around the way the world is managed or led and controlled. There are many claims that there are secret societies controlling the world, most often by very powerful, wealthy people. They believe that the world is ruled by just a powerful few, a secretive few, that get together on a regular basis. I'll never forget one time when I was traveling in a taxi with a work colleague that I had met just a day before. Seemed like a very credible professional person, well-educated. And this was just prior to the last American election when Obama was, sorry, not the last, the previous election, when Obama was voted to power. And the claim was by this friend of mine that a secret group of people who ruled the world determined the outcome of all American elections. That what happened was a committee decides who would be the best new American president, effectively the ruler of the free world, and that they would vote and decide on who it should be. Allegedly, they interview the key candidates and talk to them. And then once the person is appointed, it's announced to them privately first. And they're told how they should run and operate not just the country, but the world based on that position. This person that described this theory to me was quite emphatic, quite passionate about it. And I nodded silently and accepted, you know, his version of truth as an interesting explanation of very different to what I had understood about it, the way elections operate. We've all heard these stories, I'm sure, about these secret groups of people that control things. And certainly, you know, the Freemasons for many years have been considered to be this special group. I know many family and friends that are members of the Freemasons. They're not crazy radical people, as I understand it. The Illuminati, a sect designed to, that creates world wars to strengthen the argument for creation of a worldwide government. This concept of the New World Order, I remember many years ago watching a videotape about the New World Order, warning me about how the world's moving in this direction, and there's going to be one government controlling the whole world, run and ruled by powerful families of the world. Certainly, fascinating, interesting stories or explanations about how the world is managed. The moon landing, of course, is another one. Well, the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, has certainly not slowed these conspiracies down. There's been many conspiracies about the source of the virus and what caused it. I believe when I listen to virologists and scientists who I believe have the most credibility, they believe that it was first identified in Wuhan, but they're not 100% clear how it began or how it was first transmitted. They know that that's the first point that someone was identified, but there are claims that potentially it was in other parts of the world as well. There are claims that a nearby science laboratory is where it escaped from. There were claims that American military brought it over when they participated in some worldwide military sporting games in China. And of course, you know, these theories have been floating backwards and forwards and very much have been, in many ways, political games. We tend to use the word propaganda to describe these stories. And in the West, we certainly attribute the word propaganda to being, you know, coming from a place like China or Russia or other parts of the world that we would consider having less savory leadership. But the truth is, the West also likes to play with propaganda. Propaganda, by definition, is really just the telling of stories in didactic forms, in ways that we can persuade people. Propaganda can be true, it can be not true, but certainly there's been lots of political games being played around the COVID virus for personal or political gain. And it confuses us as members of the public because we don't really know what's true and what's not true. It's very challenging for us to unpack that. There's been theories that Bill Gates has been involved, that Bill Gates is somehow creating a vaccine, and then when he provides the vaccine, will be microchipped. There was theories that, you know, the second wave that came through Beijing in the marketplace in Beijing came through Norwegian salmon, not locally. So of course, automatically people stopped buying Norwegian salmon. The virus was found on the cutting boards in the local area where they were cutting Norwegian salmon. So there was, you know, claims that the virus wasn't spread from inside China, but it had come from fresh produce outside of China. And of course, China's not, you know, we all know that China will, even if it doesn't necessarily spread mistruths, it will allow mistruths to spread. And I would argue, so does the West, so does America, Australia, the UK, if we're, you know, if we're truthful about these things. Of course, many social media users have continued to spread some of these ideas, whether they're true or false. And what my biggest concern about these ideas is that some of the theories or ideas can be very, very influential in really negative ways. What tends to happen, the way social media works and with algorithms, is the algorithms within social media were designed to support your needs, to satisfy your needs. So let me give you a silly example. If I like puppies, I'm going to click on puppy posts. And the more I click on puppy posts, the more puppy posts will come back onto my feed. So it reinforces my position on puppies. The puppies are great. I think puppies are cute. Same thing happens with if you believe that the world is flat, if you believe in the COVID-19 conspiracy theories, if you believe any of these different ideas, the more you click on these types of events, the algorithms within these social media systems will push those same kinds of posts back to you. So it reinforces your own opinion about them. And as an educator or education leader, that concerns me a lot because education should be about making informed decisions. And I believe in order to make informed decisions, we need to hear opposing points of view. That's why debating is so effective as a medium for encouraging critical thinking. We have to hear other people's opinions, otherwise we can't somewhat reinforce our own and make sure that our own are valid, but also without maybe considering there might be other points of view. So this is why we need to be very careful in these modern times about where we get our information from. Certainly some of the other conspiracy theories I've heard more recently is the 5G internet, which for me, I'm very excited about. I feel like it's a way for me to access information even faster. And I certainly use technology and internet a lot in my work, professional and personal life, which seemed to me to be a great thing. But there were some theories and there were major protests in different parts of the world against 5G, believing that the coronavirus was actually a symptom of the implementation of 5G. I even read an article that Wuhan was allegedly the first whole city that adopted 5G technology. And I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't take the time to do the further research. But again, this is how these ideas come about and how they get spread. In fact, I even read an article one time that the face masks that people are wearing that have the small metal piece in the surgical mask is actually a 5G antenna. And it's used to either make you sick or to track you. In fact, in the UK, over 8% in the UK believe that the 5G technology was causing the pandemic. And of those people, 60% said they got their information from YouTube. Now, out of the 92% of people who don't believe the 5G conspiracy theory, only 14% said their information came from YouTube. So the evidence as I see it is that one of the most significant places that conspiracy theories are spread is certainly via social media. And it would seem from what I'm reading that YouTube is one of the places that it is most spread from, and Facebook is second. The concern again, from my point of view, is that it all comes back to the algorithms, that if you get your news sources from social media, you're going to continue to get the same kinds of information coming through. You're not going to get diverse access to information. One of the things that I often do just for fun is I will read different sources of information on a news story from what would be considered politically different media channels. So, for example, let's take the two big groups in the US, CNN versus Fox News. If I go to CNN and read a series of stories, then go to Fox News, one of two things is likely to be the case. Either the same stories won't be there because Fox will choose to report on different stories, or the same stories will be presented in a completely different way. Now, for me, as a critical consumer of information, I accept that to be opinion, bias. I consider some of it to be truth, but maybe only a focus on some of the information, not the full story. A choice to report some things but not others creates a bias if that's the only news source that you're getting your information from. So that, of course, worries me and concerns me, because we need to get our information needs to be reliable in order for us to be informed citizens and to make good decisions about our lives. Some of the reports and research that I've read says that those people whose information is reliant mainly on social media are more likely to ignore government messaging about how to stay safe during pandemic periods, for example, and potentially disobeying things like lockdown rules. Now, of course, some of these things are very cultural. Having lived in China for 8 years and working in many countries across Southeast Asia, Middle East, I know that there are places where the government has a great deal of control over media and information. Certainly in China, for example, it was not unusual for me to be watching CNN news in the morning on television, for there to be a preview of some upcoming information, for example, the Hong Kong riots, or something that would be sensitive in the government's eyes, and then for the screen to go blank for for a period of minutes and then return, and we've moved on to the news story. There's clearly a delayed feed, and the government decides that that information is not something that, they want explored on that mass media channel. So certainly I can understand why some people might get cynical about government messages, but I guess the worry I also have, though, is the bias we have about this. We when we live in the West, we assume that the East, or for example Russia and China, are the only places who might want to control the kind of information that's shared to us. And I think that's a fairly silly and naive viewpoint. We need to accept that these games are potentially played by all governments of the world. And I don't necessarily believe it's for evil reasons, but because they are aware that these media and information controls behaviors in certain ways. I've read that 56 of people who believe that there's no hard evidence that the coronavirus actually exists get most of their information from Facebook. So of the people that believe that the coronavirus is a hoax, that it's not actually real, most of them get their information from Facebook. Personally, I'm not saying that's Facebook's fault as such, but the media platform is based on this idea of allowing people to share information freely. Freedom of information, freedom of sharing. 60% of those who believe there's a link between 5G and COVID-19 get most of their information from YouTube. And only 14% of those who reject the theory are regular YouTube users. 45% of people who believe COVID-19 deaths have been exaggerated by the authorities get a lot of their news on the virus from Facebook. And more than twice that of the non-believers believe get their information from YouTube as well. There's a strong positive relationship between the use of social media platforms and sources of knowledge about COVID-19, as well as holding one or more conspiracy beliefs. As I said, for some reason, YouTube has the strongest association with the conspiracy beliefs, followed by Facebook. Now, of course, conspiracy theories frequently surface during these times of uncertainty, especially after in the aftermath of mass shootings or tragic events. That's when we tend to be more open to listening to these different ideas. The conspiracy theories come up with new ideas just almost out of thin air, of ways of explaining fact, maybe not necessarily in truthful ways. There's often a use of paranoia-based beliefs to convince others of different points of view. The Las Vegas shooting was another one that I found interesting after it took place. There was a significant number of people that were killed and injured during the Las Vegas shooting. And automatically, very soon after, there was conspiracy theories about there being more than one shooter, so there were two shooters. Now, the government's position was that there was one, and they believe that they have evidence and facts that there was just one, but there are other theories that there were two. So these unconventional ideas tend to very much circulate when people are stressed or upset about major crises. They're feeling less confident that the government's able to control things around them. And if the government can't control things around them, then maybe there's some other kind of explanation. Why do people spread these ideas? Well, I think in many ways on social media, it's because people come across new information and they want to share it because it's special and it makes them unique. I think we all do it. I do it myself. I come across something unique and interesting and go, oh, well, no one else has heard this information before, so I want to quickly share it. Well, what we have to be careful about is just because it's special and unique doesn't mean it's true. So we should check this information out before we automatically share it. Another one that I read about in the last few days is this concept that we are moving to a cashless society And it's a deliberate intention to do so, so that we can control people. Now, it's my theory that we're moving to a cashless society because A, it's really convenient, it's fast, and it's easy. And more recently with the COVID-19, it means that I don't have to touch cash. But there's certainly people who have the opinion that there's a bigger picture at play here, that it's been designed intentionally to control access to your money. That if we have a cashless society, then we won't ever be able to touch or feel money again, and the government will be able to control where all of our money is and how we spend it and track it. Well, the truth is somebody is tracking everything right now, even as we speak. As I said, if you click on puppies, you're going to get more information about puppies. If I research about travel to the Maldives or Paris or London or anywhere else, I'm going to get more information on my feed about those holiday destinations. Is someone personally tracking Greg Parry and he's clicking? Well, I'm not too sure. Certainly, at a big picture level, people are tracking my behaviors and sending more information to me based on that. We do it in our marketing strategy for schools. We certainly, using digital media and marketing, we use those strategies to target people or particular demographics. We know that a particular type of person with a particular socioeconomic status can afford or not afford our schools. And we target that group of people so that they get information about our school. Is it for evil reasons? I don't believe so. But I guess the worry some people have is that even though I might have good intentions, not everybody does. I guess I'm sharing this information about conspiracy theories today just to remind us all to be careful and cautious about the information we consume. The truth is I've got many family and friends who believe in what I'm describing as conspiracy theories. And maybe I'm the naive one. Maybe I'm the one that needs to maybe be a bit less accepting of the information and the world that I live in. Maybe that's true. And I certainly have reflected on that in recent days, and I think we all should. Maybe I should be a bit more critical of the information I receive from government, and maybe there are some other agendas afoot. But my challenge to all of us is to have eyes wide open and ears certainly listening for new information from multiple sources. Then we can make sure we make informed decisions about our own future and our personal decisions. But the truth is, today, as I sit over a cup of coffee and think about my day ahead, my personal actions are going to have the most influence over my attitude, my ideas, and the impact that I have on my day ahead. I hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please like it, review it, share it, and tell your friends all about it. This podcast has a dedicated Facebook page where I will share updates and more information about future podcasts too. Also, check out my LinkedIn page where I often speak about leadership and share other information about future podcasts and new projects that we're involved in. Please contact me at any time by email. It's greg@gsineducation.com. Thanks very much for listening. Contact me soon.